Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just-arrived collection of swim and other sun-ready silhouettes. Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra, in on-trend hues like green and citron and black shine. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Criminalia, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the final episode of our season of Blackmail and Extortion here on Criminalia, where we've explored some pretty amazing stories of those crimes and the people who tried to pull them off. I'm Maria Tremarke.
And I'm Holly Fry. We knew going in that crimes involving blackmail and extortion involve a threat to reveal embarrassing, humiliating, and maybe cringy information about a victim unless the victim gives in to the blackmailer's stated demands. It wasn't always that way, though. The first concept of blackmail we discovered is a little bit different than we know it today. It's certainly interesting how language grows and changes over the centuries, and sometimes just years. Back in time to the 16th century, the word blackmail described, quote, a tribute exacted on the Scottish border by plundering chiefs in exchange for immunity from pillage. And it was that way for more than 200 years. More specifically, it was an act done to farmers who lived on or near the border of Scotland and England. One paid money or some sort of gratuity to thieves, essentially, and one did so for one's own protection.
That might not have made for a particularly interesting season, though a repetitive one, for sure. But as a concept, blackmail proved to be too useful a word to stay hitched to any kind of geographic constraint like that, or to just the farming community. By the middle of the 19th century, the word came to be used in reference to money extorted by threat of revealing information that could damage a person's reputation. That's pretty much how we think of it today. It's had a few iterations, but the evolution of the word has opened the door for quite a lot of intrigue. And there have been so many stories to tell.
From love letters to political bribes, everyone has a secret. And it's the threat of exposure that is the key to this crime. And we discovered a whole lot of surprising examples along the way. There was the story of Emily Post and her philandering husband, Edwin. She was best known to us for teaching etiquette over the decades, and we had never heard her story of overcoming humiliation and divorce. Not an easy thing now, but perhaps even more difficult for a woman in the Gilded Age. Then there was Mae West, and the detective who expertly impersonated her while trying to capture her extortionist. There were politicians and publishers with greedy fingers and a lack of moral compass. a few love-scorned courtesans who targeted their high-profile lovers with threats of exposing their love letters. There was the man who built his own submarine, hoping to escape with his payout under Lake Michigan. That one is so wacky it sounds made up.
There was a lot of illegal and secret stuff going on. We have enjoyed sharing these sometimes almost unbelievable stories of crime and criminals with you. If you haven't been with us during previous seasons, we have a bit of a tradition around here at Criminalia. As part of each season finale, Holly and I pick our favorite shows and our favorite cocktails and mocktails. We would love to see photos of the drinks you've tried from the season, so tag Criminalia on social media and we will find you. But before we talk about those favorites, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, and we will meet you right back here.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like Black Shine, Green, and Citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archive Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. And now, in this season's must-have shades and patterns, add the finishing touch with a limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by SimpliSafe. Listen, you listen to true crime podcasts. You know that the world can be dangerous and unpredictable and that there will, unfortunately, be people who want to hurt each other. And so it's kind of nice to get a little peace of mind by having a good home security system. Just take a few precautions. And I recommend looking at SimpliSafe Home Security. I've had my home broken into in the past, and it was a terrible feeling, even though nothing that bad really happened. Aside from an intruder, I just really like knowing that I have a security setup that lets me check in on my pets when I'm not home. That is a huge peace of mind giver when I am out traveling. SimpliSafe sent me a whole home security system, and I was really, really impressed by the variety of indoor and outdoor cameras they offer. And the whole thing is backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/criminalia. That's SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/criminalia. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Criminalia. All right, let's get started with our top three stories of blackmail, coercion, and extortion. Maria, what you got?
Okay, so I could not help myself on this one. I had to choose Dr. Thomas Cream. I think the assumed reason would be that everyone is like, oh, was he Jack the Ripper? Was he Jack the Ripper? And it's pretty clear he was not Jack the Ripper. But photographs and written descriptions of him show that he is that total Victorian villain archetype with the top hat and the black silk cape and the big twirly mustache. Like, I just thought his look fit his part of serial killer slash blackmailer, maybe more serial killer. But I even really enjoyed his story. He had all of this foreshadowing of what was to come with his life when he was in school still. I believe his thesis was about the effects of chloroform on the body. And I saw what was going to be coming from him. It didn't surprise me that it turned into an itch that he just had to keep scratching. And there was more and more going on as the story unfolded.
Yeah, that was one of those where, you know, the same way that people will say, like, hey, people who, when they're young, tend to be abusive towards animals will become potentially much more violent when they get older. I'm like, the signs were there with Thomas Green.
Right. All there. And maybe not the signs that he would blame innocent people for his murdering tendencies, but there were evil signs afoot for sure.
Yes. Yes. My first pick of favorite stories was actually Emily Post.
Okay, so she was my second, so let's talk about her.
She was my pick for a variety of reasons. One, I will confess I didn't know much about her until we did that episode.
Me too.
If you had asked me, I would have been like, something disparaging Emily Post,
yeah,
right?
Me too.
Emily Post. I've never been one for good behavior or proper manners. But then as we went through her story, it really became apparent that wasn't actually what she was like at all. Her focus was so different than like the caricature that we now as a society have in our head of who she was, that I just loved that we got the nuance and the real on her.
I agree. I really loved the part of her story where like she did a cross-country adventure and wrote about it. I had no idea that she was that kind of woman.
My favorite part of her story, aside from triumphing over having had a husband who was a jerk, was that she built an apartment building so she and all her friends could live together. It's the dream.
I know. It's still there. You can walk by it. You can visit it. Maybe you can move in. I actually really also liked this story. It wasn't about her husband. It wasn't about the jerk. It was about Emily. For her time, she had some beliefs that maybe I may or not agree with.
A little but, problematic here
right,
and there.
But his blackmail was a catalyst for her to become who she was going to be. And that was a cool story to learn.
Yeah, that she was just going to make it happen.
I also liked there was an anecdote in research about how she was at a dinner party and she was eating raspberries and some of them fell off of her spoon. And no one at the table mentioned it. Everyone was very polite to Emily Post.
And I think the stuff that I'm like, why would you? Who cares? Which is why my initial reaction would be like, ah, Emily Post.
Exactly.
I don't care what fork you use. I just want you to be happy and having a good time.
But when you learn about her, that's exactly how she felt too.
Exactly.
I just want you to be happy and comfortable and have a good time while you're at your party or my party. And that, above all, is what I take away from Emily.
Do you want to do your next one? Or since we trod upon your second choice?
We did it together. Yeah, let's go to your second choice.
Okay. It's Mae West. For all the reasons.
Yes, she's my honorable mention.
Mae is a fabulous character in her own right. I love that she was exactly what you would not think was about good manners. She was just kind of this body, a lot of person.
Oh, yeah.
Who really was one of those women who was in control of her own destiny in a way that she was very conscious of and very, I don't want to say calculating because that makes it sound like she was conniving or something, but like she was just very thoughtful about her course and charting it herself. And I love that about her. It has everything, this story. It has a detective in drag. It has creepy letters.
Acid burns in this episode.
We learned it over and over. But what I almost continue to fixate on is the fact that they never actually solved this one. And they kind of went, shrug, I guess we're done. What?
Yeah, I agree. What? That was a strange way for her story here to end. For me, this was also a really intense sort of workshop on all things Mae West. I didn't know that she was such a prolific writer. I didn't know she was a screenwriter and a playwriter. So it was a last minute choice, to be honest, to do an episode on Mae West and her blackmail situation. But I am so glad that we did. It was a really great story to learn and tell. And the photos of her and the detective are fantastic.
They're so cute.
Yes, they are adorable together. And she looks like she's super pleased with him wearing her clothing.
I love it. I love it. I love everything about it. All right. What's your next one?
My final one. I had to.
It's going to be the same one that
I had to choose the submarine. The man built a getaway submarine. And I don't care that he didn't get away with his money in his submarine. I like the fact that detail in the story was there from the very beginning and he held on to it his whole life knowing that someday he was going to use his submarine. So Walter Minks was my third choice.
I have him and I have two honorable mentions, so I have options. But everything about this story is sort of hilarious. It's a good one because nobody really got hurt.
I was surprised at the bombing of the Sears store. It was just the store that was hurt, and no one was injured, I was surprised that there was bombing involved in the blackmail episode. But ultimately, it's just this like fast-paced, I just kept throwing letters at the wrong house, and I have a submarine to get away. And it was just this one thing after another where you're like, it's never going to stop. Like, it just keeps going.
How has this not been made into a stage play or a movie?
Right. How is this not a known story?
It's like in the style of the Lady Killers. It's just one of those things where everything keeps going slightly awry, and there are these people who are very wacky characters, and like the kids that are like, yeah, they paid us money, and like the motorcycle chase, and like him getting tired of the whole thing and wanting to stop, but then being like, I'm in too deep.
Right?
I love all of it.
I like that part too, where he was like, I kind of just want to give up, but I built the submarine. I've been doing this thing now.
I do have a submarine ready. He's very fun. Since that was my third one, I will go to my honorable mention.
Yes, my honorable was Mae. I have used mine up. What you got for your honorable?
I have two honorables.
Ooh.
The first one is The Hunt Hansen.
Oh, yeah, our most recent.
That's just a wild story. I'm going to blackmail you. Never mind. Oh, wait. Too late, hot plate. This already opened a can of worms.
It took for that financial broker to decide to blackmail a Texan tycoon. Wow. It started out with a bang.
Well, it's like one of those things where somebody got a little bravado for a minute and then was like, oh, no, it's okay. I didn't do that. I did not do that.
That just did not come from me.
If I could just take that letter back, that'd be super. I also just love the fact that it really shines a light on the fact, it's a little reassuring in a strange way, that there has always been a lot of really crappy political corruption going on. I'm not happy about that. Right. It's so easy for us to think, I'm sure for anyone who has ever lived, to believe that they are in the worst age and that things are worse then than they have ever been or will ever be again. And it's like, no, it sucks now how much corruption is in politics, but it also sucked 40 years ago when this was going on. This isn't new. This isn't a new problem.
At all.
Trying to hide money with like shell corporations and weird loan documentation and cloaking their financial doings so that they can't be held accountable.
I think one of the things that stood out to me from this episode was when Hansen's lawyer said that his lack of paperwork basically was fine because Congress wasn't going to do anything with it anyway.
That is the weirdest logic.
Right? I was like, but there's I actually really don't care if they ever look at it. Like, you should be following the law. You're in political office and there are specific laws you should be following. Yeah, they're not going to use it anyway. Don't worry about it.
That's the reason you file, is so that when weird things like this happen, they can
refer
to the congressional record and be like, oh, hey, it turns out there is something squirrely going on with your finances.
Yeah, let's take a look, shall we?
It's such a logic of hubris and of like, kind of that law shouldn't apply to me, so I'm not going to follow it, that only certain people seem to feel like they can get away with, right?
Yes.
I marvel at the whole thing. In the same vein of just marveling at people's, I don't know, bravado, is that the right word? The idea that he and his wife signed documentation that their finances would be separate, but they didn't actually abide by that or live that way. So did he think people would look at that document, but not the others that he wasn't bothering with?
Maybe.
I don't know why he cherry picked which ones seemed to be worthwhile and which were not, but
look at what we did. It doesn't matter. We've got this piece of paper saying it's okay.
We keep it separate, but you don't.
But you
I have
don't.
Other
no,
pieces
we do.
Of paper.
So who else do you have on that list? You have one final?
I do have one final honorable mention, and it is Joseph Knapp.
Oh.
And here's why. I feel bad laughing because that story starts in such a gruesome way,
right,
with a man being beaten to death in his home, which is terrible. But like the fact that the murderer had this whole idea of what this meant and how it was going to play out for him in terms of the will, and then realizing in jail, like, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs, I got that wrong.
I was
like,
completely mistaken. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a wild. I mean, on the one hand, I'm like, he was at least honest that he was a ding dong.
Right. He did come clean on that. Yes.
But like, did that help his case?
No.
I don't know.
I mean, it couldn't have. Sorry, I was mistaken. I misread the fine print. Like, I just.
It's such a weird thing to even bring up. I don't know. Did he think that would mitigate public opinion against him? Or was he just like a person who would tell the truth in that situation?
I actually wondered as well whether or not he stated it for public opinion of him, and how, I'm not really a bad person. I just thought that this was the way that it was going to work. And he was old, so I thought I could get away with it. And like, you know, I'm not exactly sure where that thought process went from there. But
well, it's kind of a funny thing, right? Because it's like, yeah, I murdered that guy, but I thought I was going to get money.
Right.
Like, everybody would be like, oh, that makes total sense.
That changes everything. You thought there was an inheritance. Of course you can murder him.
Your logic is flawless, sir. Of course that's why.
And no one along the way pulled him aside and went, hey, that's not how this works.
That's not how we do here. Those were our favorite stories.
Yes. It was a good season.
Yeah, we are going to talk next about cocktails and mocktails. But before we dive into our top three, plus or minus, with some honorable mention cocktails and mocktails from season 12, we're going to take a break for a word from our sponsor, and then we will be right back.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like Black Shine, Green, and Citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archive Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. And now, in this season's must-have shades and patterns, add the finishing touch with a limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time is a luxury for us, especially if you're a mom. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of five-star reviews? Were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. From serum sets to the always sold-out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to DimeBeautyCO.com for 20% off with code GETDIME. That's Dime BeautyCO.com, code GETDIME for 20% off.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Let's talk about the drinks that appeared in our coercion concoctions section at the bottom of each episode. So, you want to kick us off? What was your first choice?
I will. My first choice is the one that we did in the episode with the fleshy letter, the Hidden Monarch.
The Hidden Monarch is on my list as well. So let's discuss.
Yeah. It's a variation on an amaretto sour that we made our own syrup for, which added some depth to this flavor.
I think the syrup, by the way, is the reason why I chose this drink. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, the syrup is good stuff, and we'll go over all of it. But the syrup adds some depth to the flavor. It changes it up. An amaretto sour is already pretty flavorful, but it shifts it and gives it like this grounded fullness that I really love. To go over this one quickly,
Yes. You're
going to make your syrup, which is super simple. You're going to put a cup of water, a cup and a half of brown sugar, 2 Earl Grey tea bags, and 1 diced pear into your saucepan. Let that all simmer together for a bit. Make sure the sugar is dissolved, then let it cool. Pull those tea bags out. Strain it. Keep that candied pear you have after this. And then your strained out syrup is what you're going to use. So you have an Earl Grey pear syrup.
So good.
And then you will use that in the cocktail, which is 1/2 ounce of egg white, or just 1 egg white from an egg, 3/4 ounce of that Earl Grey pear syrup we just made, 1 ounce of lemon juice, 3/4 ounce of bourbon, and 1.25 ounces of amaretto. And you're going to dry shake it first because it has egg white. And then you will shake it with ice, strain it over fresh ice, and enjoy it and be delighted. If you want to make the mocktail, you would do, obviously, you have to leave out the amaretto and the bourbon. And so instead, you're going to make 1 cup of black tea with an almond note. If you can't find a tea that has almond in it, you can literally make 1 cup of black tea and put a drop of almond extract in it, and you're
easy.
Golden. And you're just going to use that instead of those measures for the bourbon and amaretto. So it'll be 2 ounces of that tea, and the rest is the same.
This was a great drink. And you know how you develop sometimes a feeling about a certain alcohol that you may never want to have it again? You know, I think it happens often, maybe in college where you're like, I never want tequila again or whatever it might be. I kind of have a love, not love for amaretto. And it's because I find it overpowering as an adult, yes, where I did not necessarily when I was younger. And if anyone else is having that with Amaretto, this drink does not do that. There is enough going on in here that I picked it as one of my favorites, despite the fact that sometimes I see that on an ingredients list and I go, oh, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
The bourbon and the Earl Grey make this with the Amaretto just a lovely combination that nobody stands out. Nobody is taller than anybody else. Everybody's got, you know.
It's also the lemon juice is undercutting that sweetness.
Yes.
That, because Amaretto is very sweet. It can be, yes, very cloying, especially if you're someone like you who is like a bourbon drinker,
right,
or whiskey drinker.
Even without the bourbon and whiskey, someone who just doesn't do a lot of sweet things.
Yeah. Amaretto is a very, very, you got to be so judicious with,
yes,
it. I mean, I remember when I was younger, listen, we did stupid things when we were younger.
Oh, yeah.
And you would just drink Amaretto on ice because that was like a dessert and a drink at the same time. We didn't have well-stocked liquor cabinets. You had to deal with what you had.
Right.
But when you use it judiciously, it does really nice things. And I love this drink.
Yeah, I should like it. And I think I probably began liking it and started coming around to it again. In this drink, plus the story that it goes with about how basically the death of a king and the story surrounding it has evolved and is currently still evolving, the easy complexity of the drink and the complexity of the story, I really like the pairing of. Ha, I didn't mean pairing, but I did it. So this was actually my second one, my first one. So my first one was Emily Post, which was our episode 4. This is called Good Conduct. And mm-hmm, I picked it because every single ingredient in here makes for a wonderful drink. It may be my favorite drink of the season.
Oh.
It has the combination of pineapple, rosemary, and a ginger ale, which is not a really super punchy ginger when you add that to a drink.
Yeah.
That combination to me was lovely. And that's just the mocktail without any addition of booze in it, really. I think there's a little lemon juice in there too as well. When I had this, you know, I mean, whiskey, bourbon, those are my go-to drinks. So that's what I tried this with. But I would love to try it with others because I think it's such a good beverage. I think a lot of other alcohols could play really well in here.
The recipe for anybody who wants it, we made this so that the mocktail came first, because just as Emily Post wanted everybody to have whatever would make them comfortable and happy, we wanted to make a drink that, like, on its own is great and it's a mocktail. And if you're at a party, mm-hmm, you can serve this to everyone. And then the people that want to add spirit can do it. So it's a 1/2 ounce of rosemary syrup. Again, you make that just like a simple syrup, a cup of sugar, a cup of water, simmer it with some rosemary that you've maybe slapped around a little bit to open up those oils for a little while, get all the sugar incorporated and dissolved, and then let it cool and you're good. 1/2 ounce of rosemary syrup, 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, 1.5 ounces of pineapple nectar. You want to use nectar and not just juice ideally, but if you can only get juice, go for it. And then 3 ounces of ginger ale, and you do a rosemary sprig garnish.
And then you add the spirit of your choice, which is so great. I always love a choose your own adventure.
I love this one with gin.
It's that actually is one that I think would go, I haven't tried this yet, but that is the next one that I'd like to try. I think that would be a great spirit to put in there. And just the beverage itself, so refreshing and tasty, not super sweet. Love it.
There's a sense of togetherness. I think this is a problem. I mean, I'm a drinker, obviously, but like I always feel bad when I'm out with people that don't drink and there is a sense of otherness about,
yes,
them as they try to find something they can drink. That's not cool, and it just sets up a weird vibe. If everybody has the same base,
mm-hmm,
one of the reasons we started including mocktails in all of our shows is so that everybody can come to the party.
Everybody wants a good drink. Doesn't have to have alcohol in it.
Yeah, without alcohol, it's actually quite a good drink on its own.
Yes.
Okay, so my next pick.
Oh, no.
I just love how kooky it is. It's the Milwaukee Submarine.
Yeah. I'm glad you picked that one.
I had my whole spiel in the episode about how much Wisconsin loves a drink and how they have their own version of the old fashioned, which is not like anything you're going to get anywhere else. We also had the way that I make cranberry sauce in that episode. I won't go through all of that. You can go back and listen to our Minx submarine episode if you want it. But you're going to start with 2 heaping tablespoons of cranberry sauce, and you're going to add 2 dashes of bitters and mudlet. This is a time when I'm going to really make the case for homemade real cranberry sauce and not the gelatinous stuff. Listen, I'm not going to judge anybody. I love the jelly stuff.
I like them
like
both.
Anybody else.
Yep.
But I also love a homemade one. They're both yummy. Cranberry sauce is so easy to make. It's almost criminal if you don't just whip it up for this drink.
The first time I made it a long time ago, I remember thinking to myself, that's it? You really, it was just,
yeah.
I had to wait a little
Why
bit.
Why are that we getting it, this right? out of a can? We can just make it. This is easy. 2 heaping tablespoons of cranberry sauce, 2 dashes of bitters, and then you're going to muddle those. And then you're going to add 2 ounces of brandy and give it a stir. So you're going to stir that with some ice. You're going to dirty dump that into a rocks glass, meaning that your ice travels with your beverage. And then you're going to top it with your choice of mixer, which can be lemon lime soda, ginger ale, or like a sparkling water or a club soda. The Wisconsin approach to an old fashioned. I just love that it's a completely different animal.
Right.
It makes me delighted.
The state of Wisconsin has a completely different version than everybody else.
Listen.
That's crazy.
Holly Fry loves brandy, right? I love it. I'll take any drink that plays brandy, especially brandy and fruit. There's just something fun about it. I love cranberry everything. Also, if you include oranges or any other fruits in your mm-hmm. cranberry sauce, the sky's the limit. You can make this however you want and do some interesting stuff. The mocktail, you're just going to sub out your brandy. And the way I did that was using 2 parts of black tea with 1 part white grape juice and using that in lieu of brandy. Works great.
Yes.
This is, again, it's just, I celebrate you, Wisconsin, and your love of drinking.
Absolutely. So on my final one, I came so close to picking the drink that had orange soda in it because I was like, how could I not pick this drink? But I didn't pick it. I moved on from it and just decided to buy myself like an 8-ounce bottle of orange soda to get past it. this is from episode 9, which was about George Ratterman, the honest photographer.
And oh, yeah. Oh, of course you love that. It's spicy.
Yeah, it's bourbon and it's spicy. And so I'm actually going to do a little 2-for-1 right now. So I was not sure which one I wanted to choose. We did 2 that were spicy, and I kept forgetting about Connie Kopp, who was our first episode of the season. And her drink was Petticoat Revolver, I believe. And so I kept going back and forth on whether or not Honest Photographer was one of my picks or Petticoat Revolver was one of my picks. And so I made 1 number 3 and I made 1 my honorable mention. And I realized as I was doing it that they had the common ingredient of chili liqueur. But other than that, they are very different drinks and I love them both very much. But I apparently have learned that I very much like that in my beverage. Now, Constance's drink had rose syrup to go with it. And George's, I believe, was a bourbon-based drink, but they were both so lovely and spicy. And I liked in the Petticoat Revolver one that you cracked pepper in it. And if you didn't strain it out, it was like having a sprinkle of gunpowder in your beverage, which I just thought was really fun. And George's story and George's drink, just they both hit hard. Both tasty cocktails. So I did a little 2-for there.
So the Honest Photographer is 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of creme de noyau, which is an almondy liqueur, 1/2 ounce of chili liqueur, and 1.5 ounces of bourbon. And then you shake that and strain it onto fresh ice and you top it with ginger ale. And then you can hit it with your Angostura bitters, a couple dashes if you like. The mocktail on this one goes together a little bit differently. It's not like a 1-to-1 sub out, so I'll read the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, 1/3 ounce of orgeat or another almond syrup, 1 dash of grenadine, 1/2 ounce of chili syrup, and 1.5 ounces of black tea. And you do the same thing, shake it, strain it, top it with ginger ale, yummerousles. The Petticoat Revolver is 1/8 teaspoon of black pepper, 1/4 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of rose syrup, 1/2 ounce of chili liqueur, and 1 ounce of rye. And you're going to shake that or double strain it if you don't want those pepper floaters. And you're going to top it with 3 ounces of ginger beer, not ginger ale, because you want it to be a little biteier. For the mocktail on that one, you're going to brew a cup of black tea with the pepper in your mug as you do your pour over of boiling water. And then you'll use that tea in lieu of your rye, and you'll sub out the chili liqueur for a jalapeno or habanero syrup.
These drinks are so different from each other, except for that one common ingredient that I pointed out. They are both so delicious. And the idea of black pepper in my drink, we've done it a few times, but every time it comes up, I always go, huh? And then I have it and I go, oh, yeah, no, that's right. Yep.
Do you want to know my favorite drink of the season?
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Dr. Cream's Elixir.
Okay. Before you speak about this, I would like to tell you something about this beverage. I actually wrote down to remind myself as a call out for this drink because it wasn't one of my honorable mentions and it wasn't one of my picks, but
she knew I would pick it.
I felt we could not go through our tops without having this one on the list because you used pumpkin flavored creamer in this drink. And so we should all just bow down to you for having the balls to do that.
It is a little brazen. But listen, I have such a love affair with absinthe. I adore absinthe so much that I went to one of my favorite bars while I was on vacation recently and found out they had taken absinthe completely out of their bar, and I lost my mind.
Trashed the place, walked out yelling.
Yeah, I turned my chair over. It wasn't that bad, but I was a little, I was pretty chagrined.
You felt it on the inside.
It has fallen now. It's no longer one of my, it's no longer my must-hit favorite spots.
Right? Doesn't have your favorite drink.
But I did go to another bar on that trip, and I was telling them of this horror. And the bartender, Allie, I'm sure you are not listening, but if you are, praise you. Because she was like, I got you. And I drank a lot of absinthe that night. But in any case, listen, I love absinthe. I love the flavor of it.
I like the flavor of it.
I love what
too.
It does in drinks. This kooky drink.
And yes, it is a crazy bit of business.
Yeah, it is. But it works out.
It totally works out.
And it will. Listen, I always drink responsibly. But this is one of those ones where it sounds a little innocent, but it will get you wrecked.
Yes.
So be careful.
The creamer does not help the situation.
It is a 1/2 ounce of simple syrup. This sounds like a lot, but it's 2 tablespoons of egg white. The reason is you're kind of making like a very creamy drink.
Yeah.
If you don't like egg white, great. Drop it down to 1/2 tablespoon. That's fine. 2 ounces of the aforementioned pumpkin creamer, 1 ounce of white rum, and 1 ounce of absinthe. And you are going to shake this vigorously with ice. You don't have to dry shake the way you normally would with an egg white because you want it to make one big whole creamy thing. You don't need that frothy crust on top. And then you're going to strain it over fresh ice. And when you strain it, you're going to get rid of actually a lot of your egg white, but it will leave that silky mouthfeel that the egg white imparts.
Which I've come around to over the years.
Baby, I love egg whites. It is, to me, so yummy. It's like, take a hike, eggnog. I'm going to have pumpkin absinthe drink forever.
That's actually a really good way to compare it.
It's very delicious. So for the mocktail, instead of using absinthe and rum, you will make 2 ounces of licorice tea, or if you have an anise tea, you can do that. And you'll just use that instead of those two spirits. And that is your Dr. Cream's Elixir kind of thing he would give someone
exactly.
To make them think they were going to get better, knowing it was going to mess them up.
And then he's going to chloroform you.
Don't do that. I also have an honorable mention.
Oh,
but
what you got?
Do you have another honorable mention?
No, I only had the one and then a little call out about the pumpkin creamer.
My honorable mention was really just like one that it's not that complicated a drink, but I just love it. And that is the whiskey ginger in a dress.
Oh, I was like, I only need one honorable mention, but that would have been my second, actually. Yeah. No, I completely agree. That is, it's a lovely drink.
Yeah, this is the one with the Duke of York and Clark and her threatening to reveal their various romantic entanglement details. And it's just a play on a simple whiskey ginger, but we added a Chambord to it. So it has this little kiss of rosemary note. And then there's grapefruit soda and ginger ale in it. So it has kind of this heightened sense of additional flavor. It's very yummy. So to do this, it is 1/2 ounce of Chambord, or if you don't have that, another raspberry liqueur is fine. an ounce of whiskey, and this is a choose your own adventure. I believe I used an Irish whiskey for this one. 3 ounces of ginger ale, and then a half ounce of grapefruit soda or sparkling grapefruit juice. You can just mix that in a glass. You don't even have to shake it. Add 2 dashes of bitters. You just want it super cold and yummy, and it is such an easy drink to throw together because you can make it in the glass. This is like the kind of drink that I want to drink at the end of a long day when I'm like, it's Friday, I'm not going out, I just want to sit on my butt and maybe watch some TV, maybe do a little sewing. This is the drink that
I don't have the energy for the complicated drinks.
I don't want to shake anything and I don't want to clean my shaker.
Right.
The mocktail for this one is super easy. You're just going to sub out raspberry syrup for Chambord and use black tea in lieu of your whiskey. And that is also a really yummy drink. I really, really like the mocktail on this one. Because again, it's just like fruity and sparkly, mm-hmm. and it just feels light and refreshing, and I love it. I love it. Newsflash, I love drinks. I love to make them. I love to consume them. I love all the drinks.
We were playing Criminalia Jeopardy. Maria likes
what?
Bourbon.
What? Like, I know. I tried to. There's a lot more bourbon in this season.
There
than
was.
There often is.
This season was a lot of variety, I think, which was nice. It was difficult to choose what kinds of drinks was I in the mood for? It's wintertime where I am, and this is a springy drink. And while it's good, do I pick it? It's just a lot. I think about a lot of the ingredients when I'm picking these drinks.
I try to do that throughout any given season. Like, I try not to repeat too much, but then if there's something kooky that maybe people don't normally right. buy, like a chili liqueur, I want to give them at least 2 drinks so they're not like, I bought this thing and now I know what drink to do with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I don't always manage to pull that balance off, but I try.
And especially, I didn't have any on hand, but if you buy it and you like it, it's nice to have on hand now.
Next season, all absinthe drinks. Not really. I would never do that because not everyone likes absinthe. I would never do it.
It's a very limited audience for that season.
My heart. It's just the absinthe show. Sorry, everybody. We are so grateful that we get to talk about these drinks. And we thank you so much for joining us for this, the final episode of our season of Blackmailers and Extortionists. And we hope that you will join us next week. We're going to have the first episode of a brand new season, which is all about snake oil products and the people who sold them. We can't wait to see you there. Criminalia is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.